we are in the Bronx. We work with the youth and with a whole bunch of teenagers and about diversity. But the main point we're talking about is the inclusion. So before I introduce myself a little bit more, because I'm going to talk about my life, my wife will share about us. We're going to go straight into a scripture. So if you guys can look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It talks about that perfect love drives out fear. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So my point, my main point tonight is that fear separates, but love wants to connect us. So the scripture obviously tells us that perfect love is going to drive out that fear. What is that perfect love? It definitely comes through Jesus Christ. It's not through us. We learn it as being Christians. You know, I got baptized 21 years ago in the Bronx ministry. I'm born and raised in the Bronx and working with teens. I'm like, man, I've been a disciple longer than you've been alive. Now looking at the singles ministry, I'm like, I've probably been alive longer than some of the singles that are here. It's crazy. But being born in the Bronx, 20 years before that, I wasn't a Christian. My parents grew us up in a Catholic household. We knew about God. But I remember the first time being like 7 years old and going outside of the Bronx. And I was trying to play with this kid. I don't know where we were, in upstate New York. And he's like, where are you from? Like, kind of like a breakout room. We had a breakout room. And I said, I'm from the Bronx. And he ran away. So I went to go ask my mom. I said, I told this kid I'm from the Bronx, and he just ran away out of fear. What? Why is that? And she started explaining to me that some people fear people who live in the Bronx. We don't have a good reputation for living in the Bronx. And it was something that I never knew. I had never experienced before. I'm like, oh, we just all love each other. Again, growing up in the Bronx, I grew up with many different cultures. I've seen a lot of different things. You know of the history a little bit, but you think about that. In the 1980s, by then, things were getting a little bit better. But if I just go 20 years before that, you got Ruby Bridges, who was fighting to be in a white school. That's when you had a white water fountain and a black water fountain, where things were very different. She's only 66 years old right now. There's probably some people on this call that are older than her and have experienced those same exact things, that things were very separate between black and white. For me, it wasn't that experience. You go 100 years before that, if you were black or considered black, you were probably somebody's property. You weren't even considered a human. So these topics that we're talking about, it can be very deep and very intense for people. And that's because of fear. That's where that scripture says that perfect love is going to drive out fear. I think there's no other way that we can fix this besides getting into our Bible and getting to know Jesus and getting to know what perfect love is. Because me and my wife, we love each other, but the perfect love comes from Jesus. Because I'm still a sinner, I'm probably going to say something on this call to offend somebody, and hopefully you can forgive me for what I shared. Even coming into the kingdom is beautiful. I got so many stories to share, but I only have a few minutes. But we had international roommates. As a single man, it was amazing. I lived with someone from Jamaican descent, a Mexican, from somebody from DR, a Caucasian American, an African American. And we had so many different roommates. And I didn't even think about it. I just enjoyed how diverse it was. I got baptized in the Harlem space. I growing up in the Bronx, I didn't really spend too much time in Harlem, but when we had that space in Harlem, it was so diverse. Again, Asian, American, whatever you wanted to see, you had it there. And this was the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes, again, we are more comfortable talking about things. This can be a subject that gets a little bit uncomfortable. And I know for myself, sometimes I would have to go out there. And just say, you know, hey, when I got baptized, when I studied the Bible, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, I came to baptize all nations. And we have that in New York, right? New York, it, like, you don't have to travel to a different state or a different country. We're getting phone calls already. We're at home, so we're going to get the distractions. But we have the opportunity to deal with all different nations in the church, outside of the church. Let me just show you where I live. Let me show a picture of us. You can see us, obviously, but show you my kids in my neighborhood. So we live in Woodlawn right now in the Bronx. It's a very Irish neighborhood. So this was just on St. Patrick's Day. So we're wearing green. And actually, if you guys on YouTube, whatever in the chat, my kids keep on telling me that my car is green also. Can you tell me what color my car is? My car is a gold car. Hopefully everyone can see that. But this is my neighborhood and this is us. So the Bible says that too in Matthew 5:43, you know, love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? The guy who lives next to me has dreadlocks and dark skin. The guy on the other side has bright red hair and very, very light skin. The guy behind me has a thick Irish accent. So I got that dog also in the picture. He's an Irish doodle. I said, you know what? We want to be all things to all people. I want to get an Irish dog. We're not Irish. I'm Italian. My wife is Nigerian. Our kids could be a mix of a little bit. But I don't want to be called a white guy or a black guy. My shirt is black. My wife's shirt is white. I don't want my kids to be called either black or white. I want you to respect them as a child of God. I want the neighbors to see us as people who are Christians. When they see me, when they see my wife, they'll see a good Christian man and woman living out what the Bible is and loving them unconditionally. And again, we know that people are hurt. People have stories. I love those breakout rooms. A lot of people in there from the Bronx and sharing their experiences in the Bronx. Mine might be a lot of positive, it might be a lot of negative. And I think they probably chose us because we are, you know, people would consider us black and white. So I got to share a little bit about our wedding and our marriage. I know you guys know the movie Coming to America. There was Coming to America 2. I didn't see it yet. But for me, my wife came here to New York. But for me, I had to go coming to Nigeria.
Hey.
and I got my boogie on. We did a traditional wedding a few years ago. And my wife will share more about this later, where it wasn't necessarily about black and white. I know Eddie Murphy had to come to Queens to find his wife, but I had to go to Nigeria. And you see all those people in the background snapping photos. They probably, you know, they were liking the moves over there. They're like, this guy is, you know, I like these
you
moves.
You got some moves. Stop. We tried.
We haven't seen too many of these folks in our
village.
In our village over here in Nigeria. But what happened? How did we figure this thing out? Because we were black, because we were white. It's like, no, there was fear. There was fear in the culture again, which Nana will share about some more. But in 1 Peter 4:8, it says, love covers over a multitude of sins. So how, with all these stories, with all this stuff, with all the cultural fears, with all of, you know, man, I was treated bad. My ancestors were treated bad. And even now, the Asian people are getting treated bad. You know what? People are going to treat you bad because they're sinners, because they're afraid of something, so they want to hurt you. That's what's going to happen forever. Racism is not going to go away. Hate is not going to go away. Fear is not going to go away. What's going to drive away that fear? Perfect love.
That's right.
How do we find that perfect love? Through Jesus, through fellowship, through knowing people's stories. People are hurting, so they want to hurt other people. Mm-hmm. But once you find out who you're dealing with, those breakout rooms, we got a lot. We're going to talk about age difference. We're going to talk about where you're from difference. And we just got to get to know each other a little bit more and start loving each other a little bit more. I want two more scriptures. This one I'm going to paraphrase and one I'm going to read, and then I'll have my wife share. In Hebrews 10:24-25, we've heard this scripture before. It says, do not give up, I'm paraphrasing, do not give up meeting together, encourage one another as we still have time. And I had that encouragement too. I know we're talking about pressing on, not giving up. When my wife and I were building, my father had this. He's a car dealer. If you can see it, it's a plate that says never give up, and it has the continent of Africa on it. Why my father had this in the house, I have no idea. But I know God put that there to say, you know what? Even through the difficult times, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on loving. I'm not going to give up on meeting together and reaching out to different cultures. Even when it gets hard, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to press on to include people. You're invited into our house. And we're all in each other's house right now through Zoom, whether you're in New Jersey or whatever. You're invited in. And it says, don't give up meeting together. The Passion Translation says, discover creative ways to encourage. And I think through Zoom, we can do that also. This morning, we were in Kenya at a wedding. This afternoon, we were in Albany at a baptism.
Yeah.
discover creative ways to encourage each other. And I'm going to read one last one from the Passion Translation in 2 Corinthians 13:11. I love the way that this sounds, and I'm going to give us this charge. It says, "Finally, beloved friends, be cheerful. Repair whatever is broken among you as your hearts are being knit together in perfect unity. Live continually in peace, and God, the source of love and peace, will mingle with you." Isn't that beautiful? So to me, it says, repair what's broken. There's real hurt. There's real conversations that need to happen. If I offended you, come call me, talk to me afterwards, and we'll resolve it. If you're offended by something or someone, resolve it. Repair what's broken. But then live in peace and unity. And the last word I love, just mingle. We get to mingle with one another and get to know one another differently. So my wife's going to share a little bit more.
Awesome. Well, that, you know, I love everything that you know, James just shared. Puts a smile on my face. And yeah, we just love, it's a privilege to be able to share with you. So we thank you for welcoming us. We loved our breakout rooms. I have to tell you that. So when we went into the first breakout rooms, I got the surprise of my life because my brother was in the breakout room and I didn't invite him. So it's totally God. 200 people and you get a breakout room when your brother is there. So I'm so excited my brother is here. I had to say that. But fear is a catalyst for racial division and separation. So James talked about that, how fear is what separates. But love is that powerful force that really can bring us together. Love connects us. And, you know, I love that idea. And I wanted to just share on to say that unity celebrates, right? I'm going to talk a little bit about cultural diversity and inclusion. And so you've met my biracial, bicultural family. Here we are. So my husband is Italian, of Italian descent from the Bronx. His mom traveled from Italy to Ellis Island in her mom's belly. My husband's grandparents are still alive. They're in their 80s, my kids' great-grandparents. So they immigrated here. They did the whole Statue of Liberty thing. I am Nigerian. I was born here in the US. I was the only one of my siblings to be born here. My mom came because she had health issues, but I was raised in Nigeria. And if you ask anybody and of course we're American, we're proud to be American, we're also American, and our children are Italian, American, Nigerian. But if you ask anybody in the Bronx where my kids are from, they're gonna tell you that they're Dominican, right? Because that's what they look like on the outside. And so there's just something so cool and special about each culture and each heritage. That's why we claim it so fiercely. That's why people pay money to do ancestry.com, right? You're like, I'm 2% Nigerian, what? You know, you get really excited, like, oh, you know, I'm Viking, you know, like, we get it. There's something about that we claim so fiercely. We wanna know where we're from, and it's biblical. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is God's design. Cultural difference, you know, just our racial differences, our skin tone, everything is God's design. God is a master creator, and he knew how boring life would be if we all looked exactly the same. And he created this beautiful, complex universe, these complex cultures, these nuances of things, right? So that we can enjoy this life. I love, love, love being an Italian family because I love me some pasta, okay? I know it's got carbs. Don't worry about me. I will go on my little walk. I love pasta. I love sauce. I love having a 7-fish dinner on Christmas Eve, okay? But don't play with me. I will still roll up my sleeves and eat with my fingers my egusi soup, right? My kids worship in our Igbo language. The church songs they know are in Igbo. They will sing loud. And then James, don't play with James because James will break it down on some jollof. He's gonna eat Nigerian jollof. I'm sorry, no Ghanaian jollof for us. But we'll be, you know, if you make Ghanaian jollof, we will eat it. I see F for dying. We will eat the Ghanaian jollof, okay? No problem, no problem. So, and you will see him jam into his Afro beats, right? But let's set the record straight. If Nigeria is playing Italy in the World Cup, we all root for Nigeria. There's, you know, why? I don't even know. I don't even know why, but that's just how it is. Because you guys know, if Usain Bolt is running, all the Jamaicans be like, you're saying your best run, right? Like, you don't even care who's in the room. You just get this thing about your culture. Regardless, if you live in the Bronx, you're rooting for the Yankees. Like, you can't even say you like the Mets if you live in the Bronx, right? Just basic things like that. We claim our people, reclaim our culture, because it allows us to connect. There are things about our culture that we might not always necessarily like, you know, like the stereotypes, because of what James said, the fear that separates us, right? You know, James doesn't want to be looked at as mafioso because he's Italian. I don't want you to think I'm a scammer or I do 419 because I'm Nigerian. I don't like those aspects of my culture. I don't want you to judge me or think that about me because of my culture, right? But honestly, we know that there's sometimes this instant connection when you ask them where they're from and they're like, oh, I'm from Harlem. You're like, Harlem, oh my goodness, I'm from Harlem. And we connect on those levels and we allow love to be what guides it. But keeping it completely real, keeping it 100, like we like to say in the Bronx, merging these two cultures was not easy, right? Because of what James talked about. There was real fear. Our story is too long to tell, but our families definitely freaked out, okay? And I have family on here, my auntie's on here, my auntie's mom, you know, I have Korean family on here, Ecuadorian family on here. You guys know, okay? Our families did freak out. And what were they afraid of? It wasn't even, like James said, James grew up in the Bronx and he went to a school that was pretty diverse. He went to school with Black kids, white kids, like he you know, it wasn't like his parents had never seen a Black person. And for my parents, I went to international school. All of my friends were from a different country. Like, it was just normal. I had different kids of all races in my house at all times, but they were still afraid. I think we were shocked. And they were afraid because of culture. You know, what my parents knew of Italian culture was like, they were mafioso. They were gonna take me away from them. And, you know, my parents thought, well, white people don't resolve conflicts. They just get divorced, you know? And in in Igbo culture, your whole family is involved in your marriage. You know, if something goes down with him, the parents would meet and they would talk. So they didn't think that these cultures were workable. So my parents didn't come to my wedding because culturally I defied them. And therefore culturally they could disown me, right? This was hard. I still get tears in my eyes at weddings when dads, you know, walk their daughters down the aisle. But what I want to share today is that the thing that we both held on to was that, yes, our cultural backgrounds are special, the same as you, everybody else on here. And they are so valuable. They're what makes us who we are. But what's even more valuable and what we are convinced of, and that's what keeps us together, is of our Christ culture. So Christian culture, all of us who are here, who have made Jesus Lord of our lives, who follow Jesus, that is your culture. Whether you have a blue American passport, a green Nigerian passport, I want to share a scripture with you in Hebrews 12:23. I'm going to read the Passion Translation as well. It says, and as members of the Church of the Firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven, and we have come before God who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. This is amazing. This is amazing. It says that our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. Guess what? We are all Kingdom of Heaven citizens. That is the culture that we share. You don't need a visa. No wall can keep you out. You will not be considered illegal in heaven, right? You are walking around with the most powerful passport anyone can have. That is who we are. We've been made perfect in God's eyes. Not because I wear a red head wrap or because I eat, you know, you eat sushi and somebody else eats grits. No, we have been made in God's image, and we're racially and culturally and diversely included in the Kingdom of God. Heaven is going to be a party because unity celebrates. Everybody gets to go to heaven who follows Jesus. And that is so encouraging. So everybody who is here, I want to remind you who you are. You belong here. You are welcomed here. Your culture is celebrated here. We are unified here. And that is a cause for celebration. So let's enjoy one another's cultures. Let's be open to learning and experiencing them. And how do we do that? You have to make the effort. The Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations. And yes, the instant connection is good. That's your in, right? If I meet a Nigerian, I have an in. I'm like, hey, you're Nigerian. Come, let me talk to you about Jesus. It's an in. We have that given connection, but there's other people that I can connect with that are not from my culture, that are not from my race. And how? By putting yourself out there. It takes us putting ourselves out there. It takes us walking confidently with our Christ culture, our Christian passport in hand. And guess what? our family saw this. It took the first grandchild, everybody was fine, right? You know, you cannot tell my parents anything about their son James, okay? Don't even get them started. Like, my son James, that's what they call him. You can't tell them anything about their grandchildren. And like you saw in our pictures, we had a traditional wedding several years later, but unity celebrates when we get unified, when we don't let fear separate us, when we allow love to connect us, then this unity that we create together really is a celebration. So I pray you guys were encouraged.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for letting us share. Thank you for including us and bringing us in and letting your love connect us in so we can share our story with you. But again, you guys have the real story. Go out there and share right after this call tonight. Reach out to someone who's different from you, older than you, younger than you, whatever it is. So Dahima's going to close us out and just talk about bringing that gap together. And again, thank you guys so much for sharing with us and hopefully you guys get a chance to connect some more after this devotional. Go ahead, Dahima. Finish it up.
I love you, James. And Nina, thank you so much for coming into our singles ministry and encouraging us with your amazing, beautiful, biracial family and those Dominican-looking kids. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. So everyone, hello. My name is Dahima Grand. And as was mentioned, I am speaking on age, generational diversity, and inclusion. So to begin, I want to start with the scripture in Ruth 1, verse 16. And this was Ruth's response to Naomi when Naomi urges Ruth to go back to her family because Naomi was going to do the same. And in verse 16, Naomi, she basically said no. And then she responded and said, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." I can tell from this scripture that relationship was very important to Ruth, especially her relationship with Naomi. I see this deep need for Ruth to have this close, intimate relationship with this older woman. And similarly to Ruth, I too have a deep need to be in close relationship with others. So when I think about diversity and inclusion as far as age is concerned, it's just telling me that I need to have a relationship with a diverse group of disciples. And we are so blessed to be in the singles ministry with such a diverse age range. We have from the early 20s to the 50s, 70s, and beyond. And I must say, single, I have used this diversity to my advantage. So as you can tell from my Jamaican attire, I was born and raised on the beautiful island of Jamaica. Yes, go Usain Bolt, so big up to all the yachty. So growing up in Jamaica, I wasn't raised in a traditional household. I was raised mostly by my grandmother. And in the household, I lived with my uncle, my aunt, my sister, my cousin, kind of like an African household, man. You know, everybody just lived together. And so we all lived together. And, you know, growing up, I was a very inquisitive young lady. I love being around the adults. You know, I love spending time with them. So if they were cooking or cleaning or just gathered to have conversation with each other, I always find a way, an opportunity to be in their circle. And as I sit amongst these mature women, I learned so much. I gained so much wisdom and knowledge and insight that I would then pass on to others. And folks young and old will always say to me growing up, "Dahima, you seem so wise. You're so mature for your age. How did you learn these things?" But you see, my secret was I stay with the adults. You know, the Bible says, "He who walks with the wise grow wise." I was basically just sharing what was taught, what these women taught me. And so I really love spending time with these women. So I kind of like lost my spot. So this is where, you know, my love for being around those much older than me began. You know, this love affair I have with them. And when I became a disciple, this flowed naturally into my discipleship. You know, so single, I'm going to tell you, if you want to accelerate your wisdom and maturity, yes, keep reading your Bible every single day. And I will add, run, not walk after those who are more spiritually mature and physically older than you. So as a young Christian, I made this a priority that I was going to prioritize going after relationships, especially with sisters who were 10, 20 years older than myself. You know, and a lot of these singles have been single for a very long time and they were still serving God wholeheartedly. you know, I had to be intentional about this. You know, the same way Ruth, that I see that Ruth was intentional about her relationship with Naomi. You know, it was easy for Naomi to kind of push Ruth to the side because Naomi didn't really see the need or understood the impact she had on this younger woman. But the need wasn't for Naomi to see. The need was for Ruth to see. Ruth saw that need, and so Ruth made this relationship happen. So now I figured when I have these mature, older women in my life, Christians in my life, that, you know, they're wiser and more mature, they're really here to teach me. You know, I'm like, they're going to work for me. So when I'm around them, I am like asking questions. I am picking their brain. I am all up in the business. You know, so I would ask these older Christians, you know, about their journey, about the things they have learned from their many failures and or successes. You know, I would ask them, you know, what were some things they could have done differently looking back? You know, and I would ask my faithful singles, you know, what have kept them faithful when so many of their friends have gotten married? And I remember one conversation I was having with this sister. She was about 30 years in the faith, and I think she was like close to 50. And we were having a conversation, and I asked her, I said, at what point did you give up the need or desire to have a child? And at this point, this question was very important to me because I think I was in my late 20s, and the desire to have a family was utmost important to me. And to be honest, I couldn't really tell you what I would have done or said if God were supposed to say, Tehima, for you, it's a no. So I really wanted to know. And the sister, she said to me, she said, Tehima, there wasn't a moment that I gave that up. She said, I was living my life. And that was very big for me because it was at that moment I decided that I am going to live my life. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to pour it all out for God, comes what may. So these were some of the questions that I would ask some of these older people and Christians in my life. And so I've also been blessed in the kingdom, talking about that diverse age range. I've been blessed to have a relationship with, I call them the grandmothers in the faith, you know, those who are 70 plus years old. And I'll mention two of them with you. The first one, I'll mention two of them to you. The first one is Patricia Brown, as most of us that know her has Miss Pat. Miss Pat was my Jamaican grandmother, man. And the second was Rosie Acevedo. She was my Latino grandmother. You know, Miss Pat was this proper, you know, Jamaican who would always pour on her wisdom and knowledge about how a young lady, that's what she would call me, young lady, how a young lady should dress and how they should conduct themselves, especially towards the single brothers. And Rosie was a fireball. She was this vibrant, energetic 80 something year old, like just have so much life and vitality that when her and I met in the fellowship, it wasn't a regular Christian hug. Oh, no. With Rosie, it was a dance. This is how we said hi to each other. And it was just so great to just always see her. And so I love these women. And so at one point when they were too sick to come out to the fellowship, I would visit them in their home and to sit and speak with them and just have them show pictures and share their lives with me. It was just such a beautiful experience. So of course I'm speaking in the past tense, right? Because sadly, both of them passed away. Miss Pat passed away in 2019 and Rosie passed away last year in the middle of the pandemic. You know, so I'm really carrying on what I've learned from these older women, especially these two women that I spoke with you about. You know, so if you see me being a proper young lady, that's courtesy of Miss Pat. And, you know, to my Latinas, if you notice, I'm blowing up your phones. And whenever I see you, I have my 1-2-minute conversation in Spanish. That's the charge that Rosie gave me. She said to him, you've got to get to know these Latinos, pull them out. So that's what I'm doing. So when I think about my relationship with these mature women and brothers as well, I think about, you know, the relationship with Moses and Joshua, and how Joshua was this understudy to Moses. And after Moses passed away, Joshua carried on, you know, what he learned from Moses. And he played a vital role in helping to fulfill the promise that God has to the Israelites to cross them into the land of Canaan. So this is the impact that these older women have had on me. So how do I really strive to have about a sense of diversity in this very, a sense of inclusion in this very diverse group? One is by going after new relationships, that we can seek out relationships with those who are spiritually and more physically older than ourselves. And I still do that today. Just this week, I found a new friend. I was speaking to a friend a few days ago, and I was just speaking with her and her husband that, you know, the Lord revealed to me that I need to become like a Dehima 2.0, a new version of myself. There's something in my character I need to uproot. And I was like, if you have any insight, I don't know how to become that girl. So if you have any insight, please let me know. And her husband, he's like, you need to call this sister. And so right then and there, I text the sister and we schedule a date and time to speak. We spoke on Thursday for about an hour and a half. And literally, I didn't want to get off the phone. She was pouring on the wisdom and the knowledge. And I was like, this is my new friend. I will make sure that we consistently meet and connect. You know, so we can bring about that sense of inclusion in this group, that we can seek our relationship with those who are older than us. And I would say schedule when we can speak with them, when we can connect, and do that consistently. If there is room in your schedule, do it weekly, monthly, you know, every quarter, biannually, whatever works for you. So I have had an equal number of relationship with sisters within, or sisters and brothers within my age group, because, you know, I've been a disciple for 20 years now, and it's important for me to have relationship with those who are going through the same daily struggle that I am today. But I want to use the next few minutes to share about my relationship with the younger Christian. So as I mentioned before, that blended household, I grew up in Jamaica. You know, I was the oldest of all the kids. And so I was often left in charge of the kids when the adults weren't at home. And now, let's tell you this. I loved being in charge of the kids. I loved bossing them around. And as I would put it, keep the kids in order, which I was commanded to do, by the way. But really what I enjoyed the most was to be that big sister, to be that example to the younger ones, something that my grandmother heavily stressed. You know, so this really stayed with me as I grew older. And so after I completed my undergrad, you know, I missed that sense of responsibility of caring for the younger. So I was speaking with the sister that was mentoring me at the time. And I was telling her that I wanted to volunteer to these big sister programs that they have, because I wanted to just become a big sister to some young girls. And I totally overlooked that we have one in the kingdom. So she said to him, you should go work for the teens ministry. And I was absolutely on board, you know? And so I went to work with the teens ministry, and I worked with them for, I think, about 10 years. I worked with the teens. And so once again, I found myself in the situation where I was the big sister to these young girls, except for the bossiness this time, at least I hope. So I love, you know, spending time with the teens and going to teen camp, and to see so many of our teens are now here as our single brother and sister faithfully serving God. Y'all give it up for our amazing teens who stuck it through those dreaded teen years. So, isn't it funny? I don't know if this has happened to you before, where you go into a situation thinking that you're there to give or help, and it turns out that you were the one that was in need. Can anyone relate to that? The teen ministry was exactly that for me. I think God sent me there to spiritually save me. You know, so seeing these young Christians' faith and to see how they work and fought for their integrity through their failures, see how they fight for their relationship with God, it really convicted my heart and set me on a path to having a more honest and sincere devotion and worship to God. You know, there was one year we went to teen camp, and the teens, we had a talent show, and this teen got up on stage, and her talent, she completely memorized the entire Romans 8, yes, all 39 verses. And Romans 8 was one of my favorite passages. And so I was completely inspired and blown away. I was like, I need to do this. So I went home and I completely memorized it too. I was surprised that I even did that. I memorized that, and that set me on a train to memorize a bunch of other passages in the scriptures, you know. And, you know, it's just such an amazing thing that I get to have these younger kids inspire me in that way. So I want to say a big thank you to all my former teens that, you know, I think I gained so much more out of my times with you than I actually gave. So thank you so much for the example that you guys leave out there for me. So that same spirit of taking care of the younger is still with me today. You know, a few years ago when I transferred into the Bronx ministry, you know, I got into the Bronx and I'm like, listen, where are the young Christians? Because that's where I need to be. And so I voluntold myself that I need to go and work and be in the Bridge ministry. And the Bridge ministry consisted of those young Christians who were transitioning from the campus ministry into our singles ministry. And I was just there just as a big sister once again, getting to know the young Christians and just be there on the sideline listening to them. So the young Christians have always have a special place in my heart, because I remember being, you know, at that age in my early 20s as a young Christian and seeing the woman I am today. It was a direct direct impact of having these older Christians in my life that really helped me, you know, having them to love upon me and to challenge me even when I didn't want to be challenged. I didn't want to be called higher sometimes, and really just to build memories and have a fun time with them. I am so grateful for those women who played a part in the woman that I am today. So to my younger sisters, I so appreciate every conversation, every discipling time, every time you would have called and asked for input, or I give you some unsolicited advice and you will be so gracious to listen. Thank you so much for allowing me and to giving me that space in your life, and for allowing me and trusting me enough to be your big sister. So again, how do we bring about a sense of inclusion in this very diverse group? You know, I think about the scripture in Titus 2, verse 3 to 5, and this is when Paul was instructing Timothy that he needs to teach the older woman, and that they should then teach the younger woman. It's that each one, teach one until all are taught. So I think we can all seek out relationship with someone that is younger than us. And let me just break it to y'all. We all have someone that is younger than us, right? So to our 50s plus, you know, maybe you can get to know that middle age group, the 40s and the 30s, and teach them to do the same. And to that middle age group, the 30s and the 40s, get to know those in their 20s and teach them the same. And to the 20s, get to know those incoming college kids and teach them the same. And by doing this, we will leave an amazing legacy in the church. The singles will leave an amazing legacy in the church, and what an amazing legacy that would be. And the second thing I would say is, as we're in these relationships, that we can share our ideas and dreams with each other. You know, I think about when I was sharing with this sister that I wanted to work with the youth, and she pointed me in the direction of my dream, but ultimately it was to save me. So sometimes the older can help to steer us into the path of our dreams. So to conclude, my singles, to both the younger and the older, you know, it's that iron sharpens iron. So let us take advantage of this amazing diverse group here and create rooms in our hearts, create rooms in our lives for each other. And by doing so, we will bring about a sense of inclusion in this very diverse singles ministry. And our minds will be blown if we each do that. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, Nina and James, thank you so much for everyone who participated. And I am going to turn it over now to